This is Q&A. Send us your question on 084-786-3132.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. As we continue with the Q&A program this evening, brought to you by the Capital Group of Companies, Mufti Saab, this message says a family member is in hospital and is in a coma. Doctors have advised that he's in pain and has severe brain damage. Is it permissible to remove the ventilator, Mufti Saab?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Before we come to that, three important stories. You know, the king is King Charles and his brother is Prince Andrew. Both haramis. Prince Charles, when he was married to Princess Diane, he was busy with his chameleon. For them to commit adultery, all that is the norm, is not the exception. And this harami, Prince Andrew, he was busy there with Epstein, you see that. And so now the whole story is coming out. The lady wrote her memoirs and she committed suicide now this year. And she gave all the juicy, loosey details and everything. The book will be released tomorrow. So you will see this royal family. It still beats me how in Britain and that these people can love the royal family. They're a bunch of mufatiyas. They don't pay tax. They don't do nothing. People work and can't make ends meet. And these people build is million, billion, billion pounds and all that. You see that? So they must kick them all out, if you ask me. So anyway, I'm not saying now you must go buy it and all that. I'm telling you how Allah is disgracing them and humiliating them. Today, you don't have to buy any book. Everything you get online, you see that? So that is also another story. Then number two, in Hong Kong, you see that? When we go to Hong Kong, then you will see that runway, that now there's Emirates Airline. The cargo division, they were bringing all their cargo and the plane skid. It went inside the security guys. Two guys died, you see that? And now they're wondering what happened. This happened to us many times, you know. When you land there in Wellington, Wellington is the capital of New Zealand. If you look at that runway and you look at the water, and they tell you also when you speak to them, that not every pilot can land the plane there in Wellington, you know. Because that runway is not so long. And if the pilot makes the slightest mistake straight, you all will go into the ocean. You see that? Same thing with Sydney. But Sydney is very beautiful. You land in the middle of the ocean. Same thing JFK. You see all those airports we went to with Allah's help and so forth. So you experience all these things there, you know. And third one you must remember is that the Jutlas have received the body of that Israeli, you see, that they will make a big noise, the haramis and so forth. When, Bismillahirrahmanirrahim, whenever a person is on the ventilator, the doctors say they can't do much, I always tell them, just remove it. Truth has to be told. Today, majority doctors, Muslim, non-Muslim doctors, they're not interested in the patient and that. You see, Chota peer, Mota peer, Sabse Bara peer, is Pesa peer. You see that? So you must remember that sentence there. That Pesa peer, that's the biggest one, you see. First question they'll ask you, you got medical aid? Say, yes. You say, oh, very good, come. Then you got no medical aid, go, we don't have time for you. So what all that oath they took and all that to save lives? They just want to increase their bank balance. 90%, 80% are like that. Muslim, non-Muslim, the truth must be told. Whether you like, don't like, we're not here for that. So now what they'll do, that you need this, you need this. I was gone 2002 to Palestine. We fastened the haram there. And then, mashallah, we came to Jeddah, perform Umrah, everything. And then after that few days, then I came to Medina. And this was in 2002. And I wanted to make Jummah day in Masjid Nabawi. So I contacted my connection day in Jeddah, Hafiz Ismail. I said, Hafiz Ismail, let's look at the possibilities, how we can pull this thing off. I want to make Jummah in Masjid Nabawi. The airline I'm going to fly with is Air Egypt. From there, right to Cairo, Cairo, Johannesburg. You think I'll make it? They say, you'll never make it. You say. So I say, okay, give me an option. Say, only option, I send my driver, Abdul Rahman. When the Imam makes salam, straight away you must come to the car, pick the car up before Jummah, and then you'll leave and come to the airport, you will make it. Lo and behold, we did that. We reached there comfortably. I got my boarding pass. I contacted him. He told me, You must phone your place. He didn't know my brothers that time. That emergency, his very bad condition. So I phoned here, there, and everybody, nobody. Couldn't get all of them. Then I phoned there, Durban, you see my sister's place. They told me Abdul Ghaffar is very bad. So this is now Friday evening. So again I phoned, you understand, from Cairo. And I told him, see, I'm landing Saturday afternoon. Come pick me up from there straight we go. When I went to the hospital, you see the African doctor, what a gentleman he turned out to me. I told him, I'm the head. He asked me, who's the head? I said, I'm the head of the family. You have to make mashura, there'll be a lot of stories. I said, Doc, give it to me straight. I don't want it. He said, I'll give it to you straight. Your brother is in very bad condition. And there's very little chance and all that. I said, okay. I said, these are all my details. And then we're going to go away. Then you won't need me. You must just call me. Next morning, he called me and he said, I have to take off the ventilator. I said, take it off now. You don't have to wait. But give us 1 hour. We want to read. He said, I give you 3 hours. I forgot his name. So then, what a good African doctor he was. And I stayed there. And to see what he does and all that is. He saw that I'm looking and all that. Then we gathered the family, make dua and all these things, you see. So to carry on with the medication is not compulsory. You stop the medication, you remove the ventilator, all permissible in Islam. Don't let people tell you stories. And when the doctors tell you they can't do anything, you heard now, I read the dua from Mawlana Mansurul Haq, Hafizahullah wa Shafa, that Allahumma in kanatil hayatu khayran lahu fa ahyihi. Ya Allah, if life is better for him, give him life. Wa in kanatil wafatu khayran lahu fatawaffahu. Ya Allah, if death is better, give him death with Iman and Islam. So that's what Islam taught us. Not we must carry on with the ventilator, and then when your medical aid get finished, they say, now take him away. Milking cow, that's what I call them. They're milking properly, you must remember.
Mufti Sahib, is there a dua for one that's in severe depression?
Quran teaches us the dua, which better dua you want than that? Surah 21, verse number 87. La ilaha illa anta subhanaka inni kuntu minadh dhalimin. That is Quranic dua, read abundantly. You see, in life, things go positive. My health is good. My wife is looking younger by the day. My children are excelling. My business is flourishing. Then you say, Alhamdulillah, Alhamdulillah, Alhamdulillah. But there will be vicissitudes, unch and niche. There will be up and downs in life. Nice word, English, the vicissitudes of life. So remember, then you must read the other dua. Alhamdulillah yala kulli hal. We praise Allah in all cases and circumstances. So we must understand what Quran Sharif and Sunnah Mubarakah is teaching us. Hadith Bukhari Sharif. Qala an-nabiyul Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Qala Allah azza wa jalla, hadith Qudsi. Ana inda dhanni abdi bi. You must think always positive of Almighty Allah. Never let negativity come into you regarding Almighty Allah. That is waswasa and whisperings of shaitan. Read A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Qul a'udhu bi rabbil falaq. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Qul a'udhu bi rabbin nas. La yata'awwadhu ahadun bi mithlihima. All these ta'weezes, you go take it and bury it, burn it and all that. The best ta'weez is what Mustafa Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us. قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ الْفَلَقِ قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ النَّاسِ هِي حَبِيبُنَا صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. Address Uqba bin Amir, the Sahabi radiallahu anhu, and told him these words. These are the best ta'weez, authentic hadith in Muslim Sharif. So when you do that, you won't go into depression and anxiety and all that. Wal qadri khayrihi wa sharrihi min Allah ta'ala. Good, bad, happy, sad. Everything comes from Almighty Allah Azza wa Jalla.
Is it permissible to make dua in English during the Nafil Salah in sujood?
You cannot make any dua in Salat, in any language besides Arabic. Remember, you are in Sajda, you're reading Tahajjud Salat, Ishraq Salat, Salat al-Duha, Chash Namaz, whatever. And now you say, Ya Allah, forgive me. Ya Allah, take me for Umrah. Ya Allah, let me die with Iman. Not permissible. Your Salat is broken. So you must remember, it must be Arabic du'as from the Quran Sharif or the Sunnah Mubarakah. That is in your Salat, whether it's Farz Salat, whether it's Wajib Nafil Salat, whether it's Sunnah Salat. Out of Salat, you woke up 3 o'clock, and now if in the morning, and now you got finished the Tahajjud, you got 5-10 minutes, you go into Sajda, out of Salat, then you speak to Allah in any language, in your English, Afrikaans, Meman, Gujarati, Urdu, Zulu, Greek, Portuguese, whatever, all permissible out of Salat. What Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, أَقَرَبُ مَا يَكُونُ الْعَبْدُ مِ رَبِّي وَوْسَاجِدُونَ. The nearest the servant, the slave comes to Allah's mercy is what? When he is in Sajda. فَأَكْثِرُوا فِيهِ الدُّعَى. So make abundant dua in that posture. Make abundant dua. Sahuk must pay everybody. We're going to take Sahuk to the cleaners, inshaAllah. All of you, you only got 9 days left. You must remember that 4 days, this week, Tuesday to Friday, and next week, 5 days. The next week, Friday, is cut-off date. CRL, we sent it out to thousands of people. Whatever grievance you got, in the past 5 years, 10 years, 15 years, 20 years, against Sahuk, you write it down, there are 3 email addresses, and you send it to them. I put my grievance, they got 48 million, Hafiz Ismail Kolwadia, their Amir and leader for 18 years, told me so, and we recorded it and sent it to them. Then we said that Shaheen Esop, he had to pay a fine for misconduct to the Johannesburg Stock Exchange, 140,000. So he can't dispute that, we got documentary evidence. Now the question comes, which money was used? Did he use his own money, or is alleged he used Sahuk's money? So you must investigate. You see, that is your job, CRL. Then tell the government, and the DA are busy also. So you know, DA wants more Muslim votes, therefore they're doing all these things. We say to vote for DA is haram. And then many other issues, we got other people to do some work and so forth. So you must do that this week, yeah. Remember? And how many people Sahuk are owing? You must claim everything. Don't leave them. You must remember that they made you fools for 30 years and so forth and so on. So now all good things come to an end. No handi popper dance. You must remember that. Sahuk, we're going to put the last nail in your coffin, inshallah, inshallah, Aziz.
Of this, this person says that my friend insists that zakat can be given to non-Muslims and says that there is no ayah in the Quran to say otherwise.
So you, my brother, you only believe in the Quran. You circumcise or not? Show me where circumcision is mentioned in the Quran. Show me where in the Quran is written Zuhar, Asr, Isha, you must read 4 rakats. Where in the Quran is written Fajr, Salat, 2 rakats and Maghrib, 3 rakats. I can give you 1,000 examples like that. So you're a moron. If Shaykhul Islam Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah writes in his fatawa kitab, huwa adallu min himari ahlihi. Such people, they are worse and more astray than the donkeys in their backyard. You understood that? When you say you're a Muslim, and you say, ashadu an la ilaha illallah, wa ashadu anna Muhammadan abdu rasuluh, I bear testimony that truly there's none worthy of worship but Allah Azza wa Jalla. And I also bear testimony, Nabi Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wasallam was, is, will always be the last and final messenger. You say it's not in the Quran, but you don't believe in the Quran. Quran Kareem says, chapter 16, Surah Nahl, the B, verse number 44, وَأَنزَلْنَا إِلَيْكَ الذِّكْرَى. You, ya Rasulullah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we reveal to you the zikr, the reminder. What must you do, ya Rasulullah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, لِتُبَيِّنَ لِلنَّاسِ مَا نُزِّلَ إِلَيْهِمْ. You must make tabiyyin. You must explain the details to them. Bayan, explanation. Tabiyyin, to explain in detail. So what does morons, they understand of Quran and that? لِتُبَيِّنَ لِلنَّاسِ مَا نُزِّلَ إِلَيْهِمْ وَلَعَلَّهُمْ يَتَفَكَّرُونَ. So explain. So the explanation is not in the Quran, it's somewhere else. So that is called Sunnah Mubarakah. Mustafa Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam sent Mu'az bin Jabal to Yemen and told him, Ya Mu'az, I love you. Inni uhibbuka ya Mu'az. How elated, delighted he was. You see that? Go open Mishkat Mustafa Ahmed. Then on that other occasion, the Master alayhi salam told him, I'm sending you as a governor for Yemen. When you go there, خُذْهَا مِنْ أَغْنِيَائِهِمْ. Take the zakat from their rich. So the Muslim rich, فَرُدُّوهَا فِي فُقَرَائِهِمْ, and return it to them, meaning the poor, poor Muslims. So therefore, Quran Sharif teaches us in chapter 9, verse number 60, the 8 different categories of people entitled to receive zakat. If you're speaking of sadaqah, voluntary charity, lillah, you give Tom, Dick and Harry, but you can't give a jutla, jutli, who is at, we at war with them. Harbi, you can't give. Let him freck, let him die. We don't give him anything. But you must remember that, that when it comes to voluntary, but zakat 100% Muslim only. That person there, he must ask himself how he posed the question. Nowhere in the Quran it is. Story time. This happened when I was at CII. I would take the Mawlana's name. So it was like, you see, 9 o'clock break time, azan. So he tells me, I received this question with that person's name. He says, nowhere in the Quran is niqab mentioned. Hence, there is no such thing like niqab, the face cover. He was shaking and shivering, trembling. I said, you ask the question. Whoever objects, you just tell them you must contact me. You out of the picture. You just ask the question. So he asked the question. He took that person's name, some TV character, you see. So I said, sir, your father was a Maulana. I was there in his janaza salat also. So what you going to say? Your father circumcised you or not? I'm 100% sure. So you must show me where circumcision is mentioned in the Quran. Because your theory is that if something is not in the Quran, it's not part of Islam. So tomorrow you're going to go to the doctor and you're going to get decircumcised. You see that? Then the next day they were phoning me and swearing me, and they even wrote it in the paper Al-Balagh, you know, that paper of theirs and all that, not worth the paper on which it was printed. So all this, that is how you deal with these modernist characters, فَبُهِتَ الَّذِي, you see, you must shut them up properly with their own funny things that they put to us. So this guy here also, that you don't even understand the basics of Islam. Gee.
Mufti Sahab, what are the rights of the mother-in-law over the daughter-in-law, and are there any boundaries to adhere to?
Nothing. She can't command the daughter-in-law, you must cook for me 5 times a day, you must make a meal for 20 people, you must give tea 10 times a day. So whatever she does for you, she's doing tabarru'an wa ihsana. She's doing that just as a favor to do. You can't impose upon her. Even the husband can't impose upon her. Every day she must clean the clothing of her father-in-law, mother-in-law. She must go and clean the house. You can't do that. So you must remember, whatever she does, therefore I told you all that in this day and this age, you must just keep them separate. Otherwise, Meme Tutu starts. You know, Hafiz Wadi, what is Meme Tutu? Not Bishop Tutu. Meme Tutu, I say, you say this. Story time. Great scholar. He passed away there in Pakistan. Hazrat Mona Idris Khandelvi Nawarallahu Marqadahu. So he wrote a commentary on Mishkat Sharif Ta'liqus Sabi. He wrote the book on Siratul Mustafa Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Very good. Many other books he wrote and so forth. I didn't meet him, but Hazrat Mona Idris Khandelvi Nawarallahu Marqadahu. So one day the student saw him like he's running, like going, walking very fast, like going to the masjid. So I asked him, Hazrat, sab khairiyat to hai, everything okay? He said, nahin, nahin, thik nahi hai. Ghar mein meme tutu chal raha hai. Ghar mein meme tutu chal raha hai. My wife and my mother are having it out. What must I do? I say, best place, let me go to the masjid and cry to Allah. Ya Allah, let them understand, Ya Allah. I love my mother and I love my wife. I'm caught in between, Ya Allah. You see that? So therefore, just keep them separate. Once a week, once a month, once in 6 months, you're living very far, you visit one another, then everything will be okay. You put these two women in the same house, same kitchen, then you will see lot of, today I sent out one there. You see, down there. We must put one, two stories. So they say this is a rolling pan. You see, rolling pan. They're to make rotis and not to hit your husband. You see that? So that they put a note there. I say, that is very good. Let me put it there on my status. You see that? And so on. So people, you know, they like the asa. I like the asa. I was in Fritz, Sikandar Bar. I told Sikandar Bar, look at your mimbar. Your mimbar is for size 6 shoes. When I stood up to deliver the khutbah, I nearly fell down. So then I went on the second step and then I could stand properly. I told him, you better fix that mimbar up. It's for size 6 people. I wear size 13 shoes, you know. So you must remember. Therefore, we need the asa and the stick and all these things there. So therefore, whatever daughter-in-law, you must ask the question, mother-in-law, what are you doing for your daughter-in-law? Then the daughter-in-law will do for you also. And you mothers, when you send your daughter in marriage, you must tell her, respect your mother-in-law. Make khidmat of your mother-in-law. Do all that. But today you will send her with already a negative frame of mind. That don't take any nonsense from your father-in-law, mother-in-law. If they tell you nonsense, you just phone us, we'll come pick you up. So what the hell advice you are giving? You also got no sense, you parents. Therefore, you see the divorce rate is spiraling out of control. So we must give. I told you 100 times the story. My beloved mother used to tell me, your wife, she makes so much treatment of me, even when you're not here. You mustn't think that she's only doing this when you are here. So then, hal jazaul ihsani illa ihsan. She did so much. Isn't it my duty? So I told her, call your mother and we'll look after what I will do. I won't do nothing. So that I just make her comfortable and make her laugh a little bit. She must look after, you see that? So then she passed away. Yeah? So that is life, you must remember. Dil se karna, not just for show. We must do for deal from the bottom of our heart, khidmat. And then see how much Allah will reward you, you must remember.
Is it permissible for men to wear stitched sandals whilst in the state of ihram?
Our people are characters, you know. They took the literal meaning of stitch. So everything on stitches, you must remember, the sandals will have stitches, the ihram got stitches, everything. When they write in the books there or the lecture, the Maulana says, you can't wear stitched clothes. It means you can't wear a shirt, a trouser, a kurta. You can't wear your jockey and underwear and all these type of things. I told you the story. That in Newcastle, I was giving a lecture. You see, in my house, I started all this. So then, you know, some people, they recorded it and they made a lot of money out of it. And they told me, I said, yeah, you make money, it's all right. So that I don't want nothing from that. So anyway, I stood in the passage and I told the man, you mustn't wear any underwear in the haram. So an old baji, he passed away. I can still picture him. So he picked up his hand. He said, and a woman can wear underwear. I didn't answer because everybody was rolling, you know, bursting with laughter. So anyway, you must remember that. So that's the meaning of stitch clothes, not stitch literally. So your ihram got stitches, your sandal got stitches. So it's all fine. Regarding the sandal story, because this also comes up 100 times, you must remember. Shafi'is, Maliki's, Hanbali say, when you men, you wear the sandal or the shoe, normal shoe also, everything is fine as long as the ankles are exposed. You see that? That is Shafi, Maliki, Hanbali. Only the Hanafis say that the ankle and the metatarsal, the bone in the middle, they must be exposed. That is only the Hanafi verdict. So we should know what is going on, not just impose on everybody the Hanafi verdict. You must remember that. And for you ladies, it's first is wajib to cover your hair, your hair and your feet with stockings or socks and all that. And that is Shafi, Maliki, Hanbali. Hanafi say is mustahab, but I'm telling you, you must cover. If you don't cover and the men are touching your toes and your heels, then the sin is you and it's major punishment for that. Quran says, وَمَنْ يُرِدْ فِيهِ بِإِلْحَادٍ بِظُلْمٍ نُذِقُ مِنْ عَذَابٍ أَلِيمٍ. Whosoever makes intention of deviation and oppression, and now you expose your feet. You know there are thousands of men there. And now they touch you, you touch them. So the sin is all upon you. And Allah says, we will let you taste a painful punishment. So you Hanafi ladies also should wake up a little bit, you know, and understand the deen properly.
If one mistakenly dropped the Quran, is there any sadaqah or what do you have to do?
So when we were becoming hafiz, now we were young, so sometimes the Quran falls because we're catching fish and all that, you know. So then the kalas and the papas and appas and them, they tell you, you better give some salt in charity, otherwise you will have to pick up the salt with your eyes on there. Now this is another Indian story, Indian delight, you see that. So you must give salt, otherwise you'll pick it up with your eyes and all that. So just make dua. Nobody drops the Quran deliberately. You do it deliberately. You throw the Quran, you're out of the fold of Islam. So unintentionally, inadvertently, so read the last verse of Surah Baqarah, chapter 2, verse 286. رَبَّنَا لَا تُعَخِذْنَا إِنَّسِيْنَا أَوْ أَخْطَعْنَا. O Allah Azza wa Jalla, do not take us to task and do not punish us for that which we said, which we did forgetfully, or we inadvertently, unintentionally. Give out charity, 5 then, 10 then, 20, 50, 100 then. Allah is Ghaffar. What Allah says, chapter 39, verse 53. Ya ibadi alladhina asrafu ala anfusihim. Oh my beloved servants, you went beyond the limits and boundaries and parameters, committing vices and sins. People condemned you, criticized you, castigated you. But I am your Allah, the creator of the entire universe. I'm telling you, la taqnatu min rahmatillah. Never become disillusioned, never despair in the mercy of Allah. Learn to speak to Allah. Ya Arhamar Rahimeen. Ya Allah, you are the most merciful one to show mercy. Ya Ghaffar, you are the one who expunges the sins. You forgive the vices. You are the one, Ya Allah, you said we must ask you. Ya Sattar, Ya Allah, cover, conceal my vices and sins. We must learn to speak to Allah. لا تقنطوا من رحمة الله إن الله يغفر الذنوب جميعا. Verily Allah will forgive all the sins, he said. Chapter 39, verse 53. Fatiha Khaybar, Haydar Qarrar, Sayyidina Ali bin Abi Talib radiallahu anhu arda, was asked, Ayyatu ayatin arja indaka fi kitabillah, in the 6,236 verses, which ayat and verse motivated you and inspired you the most? Ya Fatiha Khaybar, O Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu, he said this verse here. Chapter 39, verse 53. Ya ibadi alladhina asrafu ala anfusihim la taqnatu min rahmatillah. So always remain positive with all material. Allah is forgiving. People won't forgive, but Allah will forgive through His grace, mercy, benevolence.
Mufti Sahib, final ad break, and thereafter we continue with the Q&A program just until a minute or two before 10 this evening.
This is Q&A. Send us your question on 084-786-3132.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And continuing with this evening's Q&A program brought to you by the Capital Group of Companies, solely and only for the pleasure of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Mufti Sahib, this message reads as follows. It says, my eldest sister has a habit of speaking to strange men. I've advised her it is not permissible for her to do so. She's now very angry with me and refuses to take my calls or read my messages. Mufti Sahib, please advise.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. The hadith is mentioned on the authority of Abu Dharr رضي الله تعالى عن أبو ذر غفاري رضي الله عنه وارضاه. He states, Mustafa Habibuna Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam addressed me. His authentic hadith mentioned in Mustad Ahmad. Ya Abu Dharr, O you Abu Dharr, qulil haqq, speak the truth. Walau kana murra, even though the truth is bitter. So you told your sister, she mustn't believe, behave like a street lady, speak to Harkas wa Nakas, speak to Hukullu man Habba wa Dabba, every Tom, Dick and Harry. So I gave you in 3-4 languages there, you see that. So you must remember what you told her is 100% correct. And the truth is always better. So you must tell her that is what the Quran teaches us. That is what the Sunnah Mubarakah teaches us. Allah Jalla Wala addresses the honorable spouses and wives of Mustafa Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and said, When you speak, O honorable wives of Nabi alayhi salam, you are the mothers of this ummah. Chapter number 33 and verse number 6. Wa azwajuhu ummahatuhum. So, فَلَا تَخْضَعْنَا بِالْقَوْلِ. If the men are there and they are strange men, so don't speak in a soft tone. This is for the wives of Nabi alayhi salam and the whole ummah, obviously the ladies. فَيَطْمَعَ الَّذِي فِي قَلْبِهِ مَرَضٌ. The people who got nifaq, hypocrisy, sickness in their heart, they will think that no, they can take a chance. وَقُلْنَا قَوْلًا مَعْرُوفًا. Speak in a firm manner. You see that? So today, when they teach you, you see, that there's the non-Muslims especially, they teach you what you must do in public life. So when the customer client comes, yes sir, how are you sir? All that, they will smile with you, they'll make eye contact with you, all that. And after that, your $100, $1,000 is gone. Because you thought how friendly she is, and you thought that you can take a chance with her. So they are trained like that, you must remember. In Islam, it's all haram that you must remember. So therefore, what you did, you mustn't apologize, and you must stick to your guns and tell her you did the correct thing. And she is very, very upset. Tell her that you must become a Muslimah. Not a lady who got no haya and shame and modesty. Teacher, chapter 28, verse 25. How Allah speaks of a lady with haya. Allah loved her so much and gave her the honor to become the spouse and the wife of Nabi Musa alayhi salatu salam subsequently. When she came to call Nabi Musa alayhi salam because he helped them, the two sisters with the water and the buckets of water, they went home early. Wa abuna shaykhun kabir, our father is very old. Nabi Shu'aib alayhi salam. So what they did? Fajaat wa ihdahuma tamshi ala istihya. She came to call him. The only place Allah uses this word. Her gait, her style of walking was so bashful, so much haya, so much modesty, so much morality, that Huckabee the Harami of America, their ambassador to Israel, says that the Jews are the chosen people and they have the best morality. Huckabee, I hope the bees come and they finish you up, you Harami. Tell me about morality and the Jews. They are the cursed nation, remember that. They are the swines and the pigs. Allah Jalla Wala is punishing them till the day of Qiyamah. Whether you are there or Trump is there or any other Harami is there. Come tell me about Jewish morality and that here. So your mother, for what Hitler punished them? He punished them because of their immorality. They brought about the pornography there in Germany. They brought about the gay business there. They brought about the interest there. So Hitler was 100% right on these issues there. Don't come talk your nonsense here. So Allah speaks about haya, shame and modesty here. And then she said, Inna Abi Yad'uk, my father is calling you. How she walked back home. She told Nabi Musa alayhi salam, you walk in front, I will walk at the back, no speaking, no talking. You know cars, we got right indicator, left indicator, story time. We went to Maputo. You know Maputo, Mozambique, another crazy country also. So we went to Shai Shai. That brother say, I must take you Shai Shai and us and that. But we going night time, there's not one line in the road. He say, whenever you see a car coming, put on your right indicator. Then he, the opposite guy, will put on the right indicator. So this is how you will miss one another. I say, wah, wah. This is only in Africa, only in Maputo and all these countries. Just put on. So now, how Musa alayhi salam, you don't know where he must turn right and left. She picked up the pebbles and stones. So where he must turn right, she throws the stone right inside. Where he must turn left, she throws the stone left inside. He must carry on straight, she threw it in front. Not hit him now, he must walk in front straight. See, haya, shame, modesty. And in Qilabe Zamana, how times have changed. That today the Muslim lady wants to talk to Kullu man habba wa dabba, that's in Arabic. Kharkas wa nakas, that's Urdu. Every Tom, Dick and Harry and every Tom, Dick and Mary she want to speak to. It's be hayai, be ghirati, that is, remember that. So therefore, in Islam, it's totally correct what you did. And if she feel upset, tell her to take an extra panado.
Sir, poor Musafir, is it sinful if they did not make qasr and they read the full salah?
Whenever you want to discuss something, go to Surah 3, verse 31. In kuntum tuhibbun Allah, if you really love Almighty Allah Azza wa Jalla, fattabi'uni. Go study the philology, history of the word ittiba. You have a cow and the cow gives birth to the calf. So that calf there follows its mother every hook, nook and corner. So me and you have to imitate, emulate the master alayhi salatu salam to the best of our ability, capability, capacity. Yuhbibkumullah, then you become the beloved of Almighty Allah Azza wa Jalla. Wa yaghfir lakum dhunubakum, Allah will forgive you your sins. Chapter 3 verse 31, okay? Go study Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam Sirat Mubarakah. Not once in his life did he sallallahu alaihi wasallam make itmam, read full salat when he sallallahu alaihi wasallam was a musafir. Similarly, Shaykhain, Sayyidina Abu Bakr, Sayyidina Umar never did so. The only person who started this was Sayyidina Usman radiallahu anh when he was Khalifa Amirul Mu'mineen. The lady who was very, very prominent who did this was Sayyida Aisha radiallahu anha. But you can't take the action of Sayyidina Usman radiallahu an or the action of Sayyida Aisha radiallahu anha and leave out the amal and the practice, regular practice, the amul, what we call, of Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Sayyidina Abu Bakr, Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhuma. So therefore, we must read two rakat salat, zuhur, asr, isha, when we are musafir, we're reading salat, and it's all musafirs in jamaat or individually. Yes, if you're following the local resident imam, then you read four rakats, obviously, so then you must read four rakats when you're following the local imam. But ajib, yeah, Imam Shafi, Imam Malik, Imam Ahmad and them, they say, you have a khiyar, you can read four rakats or you can read two rakats. But the Hanafi's verdict is much stronger. You must remember, you must read two rakats. And if you go and read four rakats by mistake, you know, you forgot, then it's fine. There's a mistake. But deliberately you do that, it's sinful. You're going against the action of Nabi alayhi salatu salam, against the action of Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anh, against the action of Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anh, the action of majority Sahaba radiallahu anhum. So therefore, that is the faqh fi deen, how you understand fiqh in Islam. See?
Sir, do grandparents have rights over grandchildren?
100%, you must remember that they, the dada, dadi, nana, nani, the grandchildren only love the grandparents because they give them lot of notes. You see that? Just now I told you. What I told you? Chota peer, mota peer, sabse bara peer, paisa peer. You see that? So the children, they say, dada, leave all that chisel, all that coins of yours. Bring the brown one, bring the red one, bring the blue one. They want the 100 rand, they want the 50 rand, they want the 200. Okay, come here, 5 rand, 2 rand, waste our time. You see that? So then, the dada must teach the grandchildren. The nana must teach the grand. The nanima, dadima must teach. Not just spoil them all the time in all these things. My dadima, Allah Ta'ala granted Jannatul Firdaus. Very beautiful she was. Khadija, green, green eyes. Big Quran. I brought that Quran here. I said, her nishani I must keep. You see that? And then she passed away in our house there in Heidelberg. So she, you must remember, I used to come to her, now in the early 60s, I say, Ma, chopi ni kapeto. Ma had such a long pocket, it should take 30 seconds to take out the 2.5 cents, tiki. That tiki had so much barakat, so much sweets we could buy and all that, you understand, and that. She never ever told us, no, that was Ma, my Ma, you see that. And Nanima was Waliullah, she passed away 27 night, you see that. So they must teach, remember. They can't say, no, it's your father, mother's duty. It's your duty also. Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu qu anfusakum wa ahlikum nara. Eh, iman walo, oh you who believe, 89 different places Allah uses this phrase. Save yourself, save your family, children, grandchildren from the fire of hell. You see that? Chapter 66, verse 6. Hadith Sharif, Bukhari Sharif, he Habibuna Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Kullukum ra'in wa kullukum mas'ulun an ra'iyya." Every one of you is a shepherd, and you'll be questioned regarding your flock. So your parents regarding your children, your grandparents regarding your grandchildren, so all that. We all must play our part so that we build up a society that is a practical Muslim family. You see, that nobody prevents you. So, but we don't want to. We want to be part-time Muslims. Razi rahe Rahman bi, khush rahe Shaitan bi. Thursday night, Friday, we want to be Muslim. And we can all hell break loose. Ramadan time, we want to be Muslim. Big night, auspicious night, Muslim. And beside that, all hell break loose. You see that? People going Makkah, Medina, they sitting in the sanamas. So you tell me now what? Inna al-ard al-muqaddas la tuqaddisu ahada. Salman Farsi radiallahu anhu said, the holy land will not make you a pious person. Inna ma yuqaddisuhu amaluhu, that your actions will make you a pious person. Imam Malik rahimahullah has mentioned this in his Muwatta, and it is the statement and saying of who? Of Salman Farsi radiallahu anhu warda. He's buried in Madain day in Iraq. You know Salman Farsi? He lived for 250 years. His initial life, non-Muslim. Ending portion, Muslim. So much qurbani. Habibuna rahmatulil alameen. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him, Ya Salman, Salmanu minna. You belong to the Ahlul Bayt. You are, you see, you kafir Shias. You say Ahlul Bayt is only Panjtan Pak. Then what happens to Salman Farsi? What happens to this hadith? You tell me. And you believe in him, you accept him, you see. So that's how you get tangled up yourself. And then, in the Tirmidhi Sharif, إِنَّ الْجَنَّةَ تَشْتَاقُ إِلَىٰ Salman. We say we want to go to Jannah. Jannah says, I want Salman. What you think of Sahaba? رَضِيَ anhum ajma'in. Always speak, the نَعْمُوسِ Sahaba. تحفظ کرنا فرض اور واجب ہے. To protect the honor and dignity of Sahaba is compulsory. And that's how this radio station, with Allah's help, Allah's mercy, Allah's benevolence, the wasila and barakah of Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the capital group Haji Muhammad Ikhlas, Allah Ta'ala reward him, his family. This is how Markaz Sahaba started 8 years ago, plus minus, solely, only for the love and pleasure of Almighty Allah, Jalla Wala. So to protect the Sahaba, radiallahu anhum, and their great, great, do you understand, karname, their contribution towards Islam.
Is it true that MBS has been opening applications for free Hajj?
It's all lies, all that. Every year you find it. Today, 3 people send it to me. So you must remember, if he can help it, he will make Hajj for 100,000. But he'll invite 2 million, all that. Why? They're not interested in Umrah and Hajj. For them, the underlying factor is how much money can we make out of it. Never, ever in Saudi Arabia's history from 1932 till now was the taxation. Dharaib, you ulama students write it down. Ad-dharaibu haramun. Taxation in Islam is haram. You see that? So you call in Arabic dharaib. So there was never ever taxation, you must remember, by the Saudi regime from the time of King Abdul Aziz. And that, but this MBS harami came and he wants to be with the Jews and Americans. They told him, tax the Hajis, tax the Mu'tamirin, tax the Zairin. And now you can see the prices of Hajj. Gone right out of the window, you know. I told you that one Haji paid 900,000 for him, his wife and his son. Shukri, you're saying Shukri, Haji, Haji, Shukri. There, you must remember, Yutanek Jiva. We made him famous, you see. That's how we landed up in Kwantu. So, very nice place. You must go to Kwantu. You must have, in your pocket, you must have money also. BMW, be my wife and bring money worth. So, then you can stay in Kwantu. Very nice it is there, mashallah. So, you see, that's all haram business of his, remember that.
Will parents be answerable or will they be sinful if minor children commit wrong, and especially when it comes to haircuts with, you know, different lengths, lengths
at that very extreme? There are two scenarios here. Number one is this, if the parents encourage the wrong, they say you must wear this kind of clothes and you must have this kind of haircut, they're encouraging it, they buy it. So the sin will be 100% on the parents, not on the child. The child is masoom. And the parents object on it. The children today, they see everything on the internet and here and there on their cell phones and mobile, and they cry and all that, you see. Like me, I used to cry when my father or mother, you see, Eid is coming, I want that suit, I want this clothing. So my father would look at my mother will say, no, father said, just buy for him, I like him, you see. So you must remember this kind of thing. So children, they know how to play the game, you must remember that. So then the children also are doing wrong, but they won't be punished because they masoom. The parents, you must teach, you must make tarbiyah. I call this the C syndrome. What we do? Our baby is born, we bought the best clothes. The baby is growing up, we gave them cell phone. The baby is developing, we gave them now that computer. And then after that, we gave them the CDs. And then after that, they grow up, we gave them the car. And after the car, he got a cherry. You see that? So all the C, ABC. But what did he, Habibuna, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say, Ma nahala walidun waladan nahlan ahsana min adabin hasan. The hadith is mentioned in Tirmidhi Sharif. O father, O mother, the best gift you can give your children, grandchildren, is what? The good character. Be honest, I'm addressing you, father. Yes, you. When last you spoke to your daughter? Heart-to-heart discussion. You got no time. You're busy playing golf. Allah don't know which kind of golf. You're busy with your shop, counting your money and pala-pala. Mother, you, when last you spoke to your son? Besides shouting him, clean your bedroom, clean your shoes, clean this. That is not tarbiyah. Tarbiyah is you have to speak from your heart. Share the secrets of life with your son and daughter. Tell them what is a mother. Tell them what is a father. Tell them who are Sahaba. Tell them who are the awliyaullah. My Nanima, I spoke of her now. She passed away 27 night. We used to sit on the cement. We never bothered, you understand? That we grew up in a location. Who's worried about carpet? We never had a carpet in the house. I can't remember. We had carpet in the location. We had the paint, lino there, and half the rooms know that. We sit on the cement, sometimes they bring blanket, and Nanima starts, Hazrat Pirane Pir, Rahmatullah Alayhi Kariyawa, Ahi Kariyawa, Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu did this, Hazrat Umar did this. She instilled the love of Islam in our hearts. When she speaks, she's crying, and when we understood, then we also crying. So who got time today? Today everybody lines up, father-in-law, mother-in-law, daughter-in-law, son-in-law, and watching the movies. Who's busy with who? Is Adam and Eve busy, or Adam and Steve busy, or Madam and Eve busy? So the whole family become haramis. Then what you expect from the children then? I'm asking you. So we need to answer a lot of questions. You must remember these type of things. So till we don't bring that iman in our children, that akhlaq and that manners and morals and so forth, then our children are gone. You must remember, illa man shamasha Allah, who Allah wants to save, Allah will save. So you have to be concerned about your children, their iman, their Islam. I went to America, 2000. You see, I went twice. First time with my brother Yusuf Dokrat, and second time with my wife. So they invited us for Taraweeh, you see. It was end of the year. I landed there end of November and that. So anyway, first time I landed in JFK. Second time we landed in Dallas Airport, Washington. 1 hour from there is the Hagerstown, you see, next to Camp David, 10 minutes, 15 minutes. So I had to perform with another Pakistani, Hafiz Abdullah. So every night, 10 rakats, you see. So every day I give talk, this, that, all that. So they used to enjoy it. So Eid they came. So they told me, we can't have Eid Salat here. We're going to have a higher, big hall. So I don't know what they're going to do. It's first time I'm going to explain. So I had to do everything, give lecture and the Salat and the Khutbah and everything. So I took out my handkerchief and I told them, this is your American passport. And what have you done? In my 5 weeks here, 1 week I saw the Ustad was teaching the students. Second week he was teaching. Third week the students said, you understand, we're going for shopping for Eid. So no madrasa. Fourth week the Maulana said he's going for shopping. And fifth week was Eid. So you, the parents, everyone, a doctor there, professional, not GP, professional player, specialist in this field and that field, and that. I should tell them, the only guy I didn't meet here is a zoologist, headologist, and a lungologist. They have special names, I don't know. And this ologist, and this, I say, where's the zoologist? So they used to laugh, you see. So you must remember this thing. I said, what the price you guys paying for this American passport, you see? Your children, you're setting them up to become 100% murtad. They know very little of Islam. Then tomorrow you're going to send them to the varsity, to the college and all. Then what's going to happen? They hardly know 10 surahs properly and so forth. So how are they going to defend themselves? So that is what we are doing today here in South Africa. Madrasa and all that, you would know money in that. 12th of March, I left South Africa, Monday morning, 1974. 11th of March, Sunday. So I can still remember my shirt and trouser I had on. I had my topi on. So the people came, the lighty is going, Hafiz up, Hafiz G. So you must just get one guy to start it. He say, Hafiz G, to me jao molvi banwanu. You're going to become a molvi. I just say, G. Say, pagar bo o chu che. The wages are very little, you must think properly. Imagine next day I'm going and you speak like this. And they all passed away, so we won't take name, obviously. Then the other guy start. Say, Afiji. I say, G. He say, that trustee bo karab che. Mutawalli bo karab che. That you're going to shout their children or give them hiding, they'll fire you straight away. Me, I'm thinking that this, I was more lighty compared to them, but don't they have some sense? This is the time you're supposed to give me encouragement. First time in my life I'm going overseas. When you speak like this, you see that. So that is the reality of life. So we must understand these things here. Our whole life today is paisa, paisa. That's majority of the Muslim and non-Muslim. So we must serve the deen. Hazrat Tanveer Rahmatullah Ali wrote one ajib jumla, two ajib jumlas. Ye najdi hai, wajdi nahi. The Saudi regime, the najdis. They're not wajdi. They don't want to understand what is tazkiyah and tasawwuf and all. And he wrote, fulus mehe fulus. Two for Allah's sake. And just connect yourself to Allah. The people will bring the money, everything, without you asking. Quran is telling you that. وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا. Whosoever adopts the quality of taqwa, Allah will make a way out for him. وَيَرْزُقْهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبْ. Allah will give you risk and sustenance from where you never, ever, ever anticipated or expected. Last question of sir.
Tisab, is it permissible for a woman who follows the Shafi'i Mazhab to travel alone for Hajj and Umrah? If yes, what age does one have to be to travel alone?
Before we go to that question there, one quick announcement. Remember, tomorrow we're starting a new format. 10 to 4, Azan will go. Inshallah, Junaid Mota will be here. Junaid Khan, you know, he comes 2 o'clock, speaks to the jinnats. Mohd Salim Karim is back in the country. Allah accept him, accept his family, wife, children, all of them, grandchildren, wonderful Umrah, Ziyarat. So then, Azan, all that, Mohd Salim will introduce the program. 4 o'clock, I will start. Inshallah, Inshallah, Al-Aziz, with the tafsir. And then the news, views, interviews and all. So now Salat is getting earlier. So Mohd Salim told me that now a lot of people from Durban and surroundings are requesting. So we must change the format. So I said, okay. So before Fajr Salat, will we have tafsir and we will have the news, views, interviews. Then I'll go for Fajr, come back. Then 5:30 to 6, we will have the Q&A. 5:30 to 6, we'll have. So in between, you will hear Mufti Aku, Maulana Musa Akudi, Maulana Yunus Patel, Rahimahullah, and all of them, Maulana Salim Karim. So I will start and I'll end of the program, Inshallah Al-Aziz. I see some agents are sending out there that you Shafi ladies, we will group you all up and all that. You will need to understand this masla properly. Number one is this. Shafi lady, Hanafi lady, Maliki, Hanbali lady, to go for Umrah without your husband, without the mahram, totally haram. All four schools. Any lady, if you're going for a Nafil Hajj, voluntary Hajj, you already perform your first Hajj, and then you're going without your husband, without the mahram, totally haram. Third one, the lady Hajj is first upon her, but the husband can't go for whatever reason, then she can't find a mahram, only exclusively for first Hajj. Then the Malikis and the Shafi'is say she can go. Fi jama'atin nisa istiqat, she goes with a group of ladies only for first Hajj, not anything else. Hanafis and Hanbalis say even in that case she can't go. And why she can't go? Because to have the husband worth or a mahram worth is a shirt, is a condition. And so what must she do? So she must write in the world, he has got 1,200,000, somebody must perform the Hajj anil ghair, Hajj badal on my behalf. That is the fatwa of the Hanbalis and Hanafis. But today the agents, I don't say all, but many of them, they will twist the Sharia as long as they can take more Hajjis worth, you see that. So that is the big problem today with the Ummah. So inshallah, next up we finish now. And my brother Lukolo, you ready? We'll have Hafiz Yusuf Kala, my brother from Darul Newcastle. And thereafter we're going to have Qari Hanif Multani, his son, you see that. So I would like to listen to his lecture. I'm sure he imitates his father. Qari Tahir Hanif Multani. He speaks about Nabi Ayyub alayhi salatu salam ka sabr, his patience, Nabi Ayyub alayhi salam. So Qari Hanif, you listen to him 4 to 5 every day, right? And now this is his son, Qari Tahir. So we have to hear his lecture also. And then 11 to 12 will be Sheikh Anwar al-Awlaki. Tomorrow 10 to 4. Adhan, 4 o'clock, we will start. Inshallah, Inshallah al-Aziz. Jazakallah khair, Hafiz Wadi. Suleiman Esop, send me the podcast. Thank you, Lukolo. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
He says, shukran wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh to Mufti Sahib as well as to the directors, sound engineers and the esteemed listeners. Until next time, we say, Rasulullah ala nabir ummiyi fi amanillah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.